Satarane Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, The Creative Impetus, Chapter Number 11, Jada Bharat instructs King Rahugana. Today's verse is number 2. All right, let's go back. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Tathaiva Rajan Uru Garhamedha. Tathaiva Rajan Uru Garhamedha. Vitana Vidoru Vidrimbiteshu. Vitana Vidyoru Vidrimbiteshu. Naveda Vadeshu Hi Tattva Vada. Prayena Shuddho Nuchakasti Sadhu. Tathaiva Rajan Uru Garha Medha. Vitana Vidyoru Vridrimbiteshu. Naveda Vadeshu Hi Tattva Vada. Prayena Shuddho Nuchakasti Sadhu. Please chant. Ladies, anyone else. Synonyms. Tata. Therefore. Eva. Indeed. Rajan. O king. Urugarha medha. Rituals related to material household life. Vitana vidya, in knowledge that expands. Uru, very greatly. Vidrimbhiteshu, among those interested. Na, not. Veda vadeshu, who speak the version of the Vedas. He, indeed, tatvavad, the spiritual science. Prayena, almost always. Shuddha, free from all contaminated activities. Nu, indeed. Chakasti, appear. Sadhu, a person who is advanced in devotional service. Please repeat. My dear king, talks of the relationship between the master and the servant, the king and the subject, and so forth, are simply talks about material activities. People interested in material activities, which are expounded in the Vedas, are intent on performing material sacrifices and placing faith in their material activities. For such people, spiritual advancement is definitely not manifest. My dear king talks of the relationship between the master and the servant, the king and the subject, and so forth, are simply talks about material activities. People interested in material activities, which are expounded in the Vedas, are intent on performing material sacrifices and placing faith in their material activities. For such people, spiritual advancement is definitely not manifest. Purport by our spiritual master, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. In this verse, two words are significant, Vedavada and Tattvavada. According to Bhagavad Gita, those who are simply attached to the Vedas and who do not understand the purpose of the Vedas or the Vedanta Sutra are called Veda Vada Rata. Yam imang pushpatam vacham prabhadantyava pashast avipachastita Veda Vada Rata parata nanyat astiti vadanaha kamat mana swarga para Janma karma phala pradam kriya vishesha bahulang bogaishwarya gating prati. Men of small knowledge are very much attached to the flowery words of the Vedas, which recommend various fruitive activities for elevation to heavenly planets, resultant good birth, power, and so forth. Being desirous of sense gratification and opulent life, they say there is nothing more than this, taken from Bhagavad Gita, chapter 2, verses 42 and 43. The Vedavada followers of the Vedas are generally inclined to karmakanda, the performance of sacrifice, according to the Vedic injunctions. They are thereby promoted to the higher planetary systems. They generally practice the Chaturmasya system, Akshayang Havai Chaturmasya Yajina Sukritang Bhavati. One who performs the Chaturmasi Yajna becomes pious. By becoming pious, one may be promoted to the higher planetary systems. Udvang Gachanti Sattvasta. Quotation from Bhagavad Gita, chapter 14, verse 18. Some of the followers of the Vedas are attached to Karmakanda, the fruitive activities of the Vedas, in order to be promoted to a higher standard of life. Others argue that this is not the purpose of the Vedas. Tad yatai veha karma jita loka kshiyate evam evam uttara punya jita loka kshiyate. In this world, someone may become a very highly elevated by taking birth in an aristocratic family, by being well educated, beautiful, or very rich. These are the gifts for pious activities enacted in the past life. However, these will be finished when the stock of pious activity is finished. If we become attached to pious activities, we may get these various worldly facilities in the next life and may take birth in the heavenly planets. But all this will eventually be finished. Sine punye martya lokam vishanti, quoted from the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 9, verse 21. When the stock of pious activity is finished, one again has to come to this martya loka. According to the Vedic injunctions, the performance of pious activity is not really the objective of the Vedas. The objective of the Vedas is explained in Bhagavad Gita. Vedaischa sarvaya aham eva vedya, quoted from Bhagavad Gita, chapter 15, verse 15. The objective of the Vedas is to understand Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Those who are Vedavadis are not actually advanced in knowledge, and those who are followers of Jnanakand, Brahman understanding, are also not perfect. However, when one comes to the platform of Upasana and accepts the worship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he becomes perfect. Aradhananam sarvesham Vishnor aradhanam param. In the Vedas, the worship of different demigods and the performance of sacrifice are certainly mentioned, but such worship is inferior because the worshippers do not know that the ultimate goal is Vishnu. Nate vidu swartha gating hi Vishnu, quoted from Bhagavatam, 7th canto, chapter 5, verse 31. When one comes to the platform of Vishnor Aradhanam, or Bhakti Yoga, one has attained the perfection of life. Otherwise, as indicated in Bhagavad Gita, one is not a Tattvavadi, but a Vedavadi, a blind follower of the Vedic injunctions. A Vedavadi cannot be purified from material contamination unless he becomes a Tattvavadi, that is, one who knows Tattva, the Absolute Truth. Tattva is also experienced in three features, Brahmeti, Paramatmeti, Bhagavan iti shabdyate, quoted from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 2, Verse 11. Even after coming to the platform of understanding Tattva, one must worship Bhagavan, Vishnu, and his expansions, or one is not yet perfect. Bahunam janmanam ante gyanavan mang prapadyate. After many births, one who is actually in knowledge surrenders unto Krishna. The conclusion is that unintelligent men with a poor fund of knowledge cannot understand Bhagavan, Brahman, or Paramatma. But after studying the Vedas and attaining the understanding of the Absolute Truth, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one is supposed to be on the platform of perfect knowledge. Thus ends Srila Prabhupada's wonderful purport to today's verse. Trinadapi sunichena tarar iva sahishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. Harinama, harinama, harinama eva kevalam, kalo nastyeva, nastyeva, nastyeva gatiranyata. Jada Bharat is instructing Maharaj Rahugana and is beginning from the first lesson of transcendental knowledge. The first lesson of transcendental knowledge is taught by Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita. The difference between matter and spirit, the difference between temporary manifested energy and eternally manifested energy, the difference between the body and the mind and different from the eternal soul. This is the beginning. So, in the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, when he instructed Prakashananda Saraswati, when he informed Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he explained that actually the Vedas are only teaching three things. Sambandha, Abhideya, Prayojana. Sambandha means what is the constitutional position of the living entity? What is the living entity's relationship with the Supreme? That is Sambandha. So much information is given in the Vedic literatures explaining what is the constitutional position of the living entity in relationship to the Supreme. Lord Chaitanya informed Sanatan Goswami when he asked, "Who am I? Why am I suffering?" Lord Chaitanya said, "Jivera Sarupahoi Krishnera Nityadas." You are a molecular particle of soul, just like a molecular part of sunshine. And your function, you are the eternal servant of Krishna. Jivera Sarupahoi Krishnera. He used that word, Krishnera. We are the eternal servant of Krishna. So we are hearing Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada's lectures, all to hammer this point. And this point should never be forgotten. That I am nothing more, nothing less than the eternal servant of Krishna. Now, the next thing the Vedas are teaching, Abhideya. What are the practical activities by which this understanding that I'm the eternal servant of Krishna can be fostered? It's not simply an intellectual understanding or an intellectual acceptance. No. There must be practical activities that demonstrate, that prove, yes, I am the eternal servant of Krishna. Many people cannot understand this concept of spiritual activities. Even though they have read Bhagavad Gita for generations, still people have a hard time understanding that there is such a thing as spiritual or transcendental activities. But that is Abhideya. Those spiritual transcendental activities are known as Bhakti Yoga, as nicely explained by Prahlad Maharaj when questioned by his father. "What is the best thing you have learned?" Prahlad said, "Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam Padasevanam Archanam Vandanam Dasyam Sakyam Atmanivedanam Iti Pungsarpita Vishnau Bhaktischain Navalakshana Kriyeta Bhagavati Yadha Tanmanye Ditam Utamam." "My dear father, oh best of the demons, in my opinion, the best education is pure devotional service, which comes in 9 flavors." And Lord Chaitanya comments that of the 9, the first 2 are of primary importance. No question of the other 7 in Kali Yuga unless the first 2 are executed. Shravanam, Kirtanam, hearing and chanting about Krishna, about God. This is the basic principle of spiritual activity. Without hearing and chanting, you won't know what to do. You won't know what is spiritual activity and what is material activity. The distinction is made in the Bhagavad Gita by Krishna. Krishna makes it very clear in the Bhagavad Gita what is material activity, what is spiritual activity. And even Krishna says, even the wise are bewildered. They don't even understand this. Therefore, you need a spiritual master. The spiritual master's position is to inform us what is material activity, what is spiritual activity. Basically, spiritual activity centers around hearing and chanting about Krishna. Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama Eva Kevalam, Galo Nastyeva, 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 Gatir Anyata. Lord Chaitanya also explains what is spiritual activity when he quotes a very wonderful verse. Sarva Upadi Vinir Muktam. Become free from designations. You're not a man, you're not a woman, you're not black, you're not white. You are the same thing. Sarva Upadi Vinir Muktam is the same thing as Jivera Sarupa Hoy Krishnara Nityadas. Become free from designations means just understand only one thing. You're the eternal servant of Krishna. Boss, finish. That's it. Now, tat paradvena nirmalam. Now, live a pure spiritual life. Therefore, when Srila Prabhupada would accept a disciple, they would have to bow down, and Prabhupada would have them say, what are the four regulative principles? No illicit sex, no intoxication, no meat eating, no gambling. This is the beginning of spiritual life. Without this, no purity, no spiritual life, you can't even be considered human being. Anyone who cannot follow these four regulative principles, less than human being. This is important. These four regulative principles, the foundation. Yes, they may be human being, but they're not civilized. Okay, we'll say you can be a human being if you don't follow these. But you're not a civilized human being. You're an animal. Dvipada pashu. Two-legged animal. Pretending to be a human being. You think you're a human being. But this is the beginning. Pure life. These four regulative principles. Then, on top of that, chant Hare Krishna mantra 16 rounds every day, minimum. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Now, when Lord Chaitanya was instructing Sanatana Goswami, he explained what was the regulative principle of all regulative principles. Always remember Krishna, never forget him. And then Prabhupada, in explaining that verse in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, says that the spiritual master gives us so many activities to help us always remember Krishna and never forget. So these activities that the spiritual master gives us, these are activities which are simply meant to help us remember Krishna and never forget. Whether you're going on the altar, whether you are cleaning the temple room, whether you're engaged in management activities, whether you are counting Krishna's Lakshmi, whether you're going out to the front lines and confronting the fallen conditioned souls and trying to convince them, Mr., Mrs., ma'am, you're not that body. You are the eternal servant of Krishna. Or you're cooking in the kitchen or working in the restaurant. Any activity that you're doing in this International Society for Krishna Consciousness should be reminding you at every moment you're the eternal servant of Krishna, and you should always be remembering and thinking of Krishna. That is the whole scheme. It's not simply busy work. And it's not just work. Spiritual activities with a purpose. The purpose is to remember Krishna and never forget him. And it's my duty, not anyone else's duty. It's my duty to remember Krishna. The spiritual master plants the seed, but it's my business to water. That watering is hearing and chanting. So, there's no one to blame for my lack of Krishna consciousness other than myself. If I'm not remembering Krishna, if I'm forgetting Krishna, it's not the temple president's fault, GBC's fault, or this person's fault. It's my fault. I have to take responsibility. It's my duty to remember Krishna and never forget. These activities I've been given by the spiritual master, good. These are going to help me. But the actual art of remembering Krishna and never forgetting, that's up to me. That's my end of the bargain. So, avideya, practical activities which remind me that I'm the eternal servant of Krishna and I never forget him, I always remember him. Then, what for? Why? Why should I? Ah, love. Prayojana, the third thing that the Vedas are teaching, love. All you need is love. But unfortunately, we were loving Bobby and Susie and so many other ridiculous things. But Prabhupada has saved us. Saved us, as I said recently. My only regret is that I found out about Krishna consciousness at the age of 23. If I had only found out at the age of 13, I would have saved myself so much heartache and sorrow. But I was not fortunate. I was unfortunate that only at the age of 23, when I was already wasted, already spoiled, if only I had found Krishna consciousness earlier. Even so, when Prabhupada came, it was 65. So at the age of 15, I was still not so yet contaminated. But by the age 19, finished. Maya had me. I became a pure follower of Maya at the age of 19. Fully. Completely sold out to Maya. I was still, before then, I still had a little bit reserve, but at the age of 19, finished. Therefore, those of you who go out and preach Krishna consciousness, you are the greatest welfare workers in the world. Because by your preaching, whether it's by your book distribution or your kirtan, or your prasad distribution, you are delivering the fallen conditioned souls and saving them from millions of future lifetimes of suffering. No one can repay the debt. That's like I have my Vartma Pradarshaka Guru. She sometimes comes, I sometimes see her. And whenever I see her, I pay my obeisances to her. Because without her bringing me to the temple, and it just so happened on that day, Prabhupada was there. And I saw Prabhupada. So I have to always be very much appreciative of the devotees who brought me to Krishna consciousness, who trained me in Krishna consciousness. Because what they have done, such a thing can never be repaid. What to speak of what Prabhupada has done? We cannot repay. Not can even begin to repay. But at least we can follow his instructions. At least we can try to push on his movement and try to spread it. In this purport today, in verse, as we were reading it, as we were hearing it, I was reminded of the pastime in a Krishna book, where the cowherd boys were sent by Krishna to beg food from the Brahmins who were performing a karmakanda fruitive activity. But they were too busy. They could not give. Even though the cowherd boys mentioned Krishna and Balaram, the Brahmins should have known. But they were caught up. They were entangled. So when the cowherd boys came back, Krishna said, yes, now go to their wives. They are my pure devotees. And as soon as the cowherd boys went to the wives of the yajnik brahmanas, they filled up their baskets and they themselves went. Not that they just gave. No, they came and personally brought the food, the prasad, to Krishna. They were spontaneously attracted to Krishna. And then they didn't want to go home. They presented to Krishna that you are supposed to give shelter to your surrendered devotees, so we are surrendering. We don't want to go back to our families. What use is that? We simply want to take shelter of you. We know that if we take shelter of you, everything will be taken care of. So that incident in the Krishna book, Bhagavatam, is instructive that we should simply take shelter, surrender to Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. It says to end by 8:10. It's 8:10. I've ended discussion. Yes. You gonna wait for the mic? Okay.
Thank you, Prabhu. So I have a question about the purport.
Yes.
It says here that the Veda Vada followers who are generally inclined towards karmakanda generally practice the Chatur Masya system.
Yes.
And I know that's something that we practice also, and but I've heard other things, like I've heard some devotees mention that Srila Prabhupada never followed Nirjali Kadasi, different things like that. So I'm just wondering, like, how are we? Do we place really emphasis on these things? Is that our focus, that we follow these?
First of all, the Chaturmasya that Prabhupada writes about in Chaitanya Charitamrita that we're supposed to follow, which Prabhupada wrote. What Prabhupada did, that's Prabhupada. But what he wrote was that we're supposed to observe the four fasts, spinach, yogurt, milk, and urd dal. So when I hear the argument Prabhupada didn't follow, that doesn't register with me, because I know what he wrote. Okay? He wrote in Chaitanya Charitamrita that this, so that much we should do, which we used to do, when I was in the movement, I joined in 73, we followed those four things. Nobody ever said it during those days. Well, Prabhupada didn't follow. Everybody followed in those days. All right? And it's written. Okay? But that Chaturmasi and what he's referring to here is two different things. The Chaturmasya that he's referring to is very, very severe austerities and penances. Right? So, we should just follow what Srila Prabhupada has taught. Is it so difficult, the spinach fast? Is it so difficult, the yogurt fast, the milk fast? Although I have an experience that, during the year, yogurt, it's like I could take it or leave it. But come that yogurt fast, all of a sudden, I have this craving for yogurt. Comes the milk fast. Now, I like milk. I take milk all the time. But sure enough, when that milk fast comes, right? And during this Damodar month, what am I craving? Kachoris. So, we just have to follow. My mother pointed this out when I was a kid, Do as I say, not as I do. So I know, I've heard this argument. Prabhupada didn't follow. Yeah, that's all right. That's him. But I know what he wrote. So I follow that. Is that all right? Oh, I see we got a war a-brewing. But you're not finished.
I wasn't exactly speaking about this particular fast. I'm just kind of speaking about the concept that it seems like there's a lot of different, like this week started the Bhishma Panchaka thing, and I've heard some devotees talking about if you're going to follow that fast and do this. And there's
just right.
things throughout the year that...
Are you chanting 16 rounds? Are you chanting 16 rounds?
Well, yeah, I'm just...
Are you following the Four Eagles of Principles?
Yes, Prabhu.
All right. Are you doing everything that the temple authorities are asking you to do?
I think so.
Okay. So now that you've done that, you can be as austere as you like. You can do whatever you like, but don't slack off on these things. What happens sometimes is people get caught up on all these other things, but they didn't do the first things. Chanting 16 rounds, following the Four Eagles of Principles, and doing everything that they're supposed to do. And they get caught up in all these external things. You follow? But if you're doing the primary things, you can be as austere as you want. You want to, do Nirjala every Ekadasi? Great. Just make sure you're doing 16 rounds, Four Eagles of Principles, and handling all the prescribed services. Archita's burning. I can tell. I can see the smoke coming out of his bead bag. Although it's 8:15, and according to the chart, we're supposed to end.
Hare Krishna. Thank you for a very nice class. The first, really mean that sincerely. You put the pedal to the metal. And
is there a butt coming?
No.
Okay.
On this last point that you were making, and the question is a very good one, because sometimes, like with Niyamagraha, you can go one way too far, the other way, the opposite way too far. But Prabhupada and Lord Chaitanya, recently we also had this business about, begging forgiveness from devotees. And, some make a big deal of it, some not. But Lord Chaitanya said these two things. He uses mother as an example. She offended Advaita Acharya, so he was not giving her mercy. And the devotees asked, why not merciful to Mother Sachi? Because she offended Advaita Acharya. She had to beg forgiveness. Similarly with Ekadashi. He said, he begged her, he said, please, whatever you do, just one thing I beg you, don't eat grains on Ekadashi. So there are certain things that we must do, coming in our line, Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya. Other Sampradayas, they stress other things, grow your beard and this and that. We're not into that. We follow these particular things. You must observe Ekadashi, follow the Chaturmasi at least to this level of fasting from the four items in the 4 months, and beg forgiveness when you make some offense. These things we cannot minimize, but other things Prabhupada didn't stress so much.
All right. We're out of time. I'm sorry. It says 8:15. Who's in charge? Okay. Go ahead.
You brought up a very interesting point, Narendra Prabhu, about when you were speaking about Srila Prabhupada. And I was wondering if you could elaborate or clarify it for my imperfect mind. My understanding is that Prabhupada is founder Acharya, Acharya meaning one who preaches by his own example. And I think in the Chaitanya Charitamrita it's mentioned somewhere that religious principles are themselves established by the behavior of a devotee. So when you mention, your mother or, don't do as I do as I say, does that apply to an Acharya, or to speak of the founder Acharya, whose every action was a lesson for all of us to follow?
What he says overrides anything else you may see. Okay? That's my point. What he says, right, is for us. What he does, for instance, Lord Nityananda is that quote. I may see Lord Nityananda enter a liquor shop. So, he's the Acharya. I got to do with him. I got to go to a liquor shop too. No. We do what he says. So if Srila Prabhupada says something, boss, finish. That's it. Don't try to, not you. We shouldn't try to be smarter. We shouldn't try to be so, no. Just do what he says. That's it. Is that all right? Simple. I'm stupid. I don't know anything. I just know what he says. I don't have a brain to figure out all this and this. I just do what he says. Chant 16 rounds, follow the four Oregon's of principles, preach Krishna consciousness, and take prasadam. I think that's enough. Let's go. Hari Bol. Hare Krishna. Hari Bol. Yeah. I called. I left a message. I'm waiting. I didn't quote enough Bhagavad Gita. Hari Bol. Hare Krishna.